somebody's going to ask me,
because I've been doing this long enough. They're going to say, you said the root word was divide. Now you're saying it's the root word is together. It's the same thing. For this cause shall man leave, which can be used, the word cleave. Leave and cleave can be used because you got a cleaver that cuts. For this cause shall man leave mother and father and cleave to his wife. The two shall become one. So when I say the root word is divide and the root word is together, it's the same thing, because you leave one family unit and you create another family unit. Leave and cleave. If you take an axe and you cut up some wood, so the axe is a knife, right? So you take an axe and you cut up some wood, go outside, take an axe and cut up some wood. Your axe is going to get stuck in a piece of wood. I thought it was an axe splitting, but why does it get stuck? As you're chopping the wood, the axe will get stuck. Why? Leave and cleave are connected. Leave and cleave are connected. Somebody's going to ask me, well, how can the root word be divide and the root word can be together at the same time? Because in order for a cell to reproduce, it has to split. A nation is a bunch of people together, and you have different nations and different cultures to create a nation. So the nations are separated, but an individual nation is together. The root word together and the root word divide, those are the two root words, are the same. You might say, that's impossible. Well, it's not impossible, because Jesus became the snake on the cross. How can Jesus become the sin on the cross for you? Because at the cross, you had the death and you had the resurrection. God split space-time, but rose from the dead. For this cause shall man leave, which is cleave, mother and father, and cleave to his wife. I still don't get it. Okay, let me try it this way. You still don't get it, so let me try it this way. If God gives you a gift, you receive the gift and you give it back. Receiving and giving are the same. In the spirit, in the whole scheme of things, in the overarching scheme of things, receiving and giving are the same. When you receive a gift from somebody or you give a gift, it's the same reciprocal process. They have to receive it when you give it. Or you have to receive it when they give it. When you look at the other person, you're looking at a piece cut off from the source, which is a piece of you. When you look at other people, you're looking at yourself at different levels of growth and so forth. Long story short, you give and you receive, reciprocal. You divide to gather, reciprocal. You divide up to gather. And when you gather, the man and woman make a baby and divide up some more, and then they gather. So it's a division gathering, divide, gather, give, receive, give, receive. Divide and gather, gather and divide, gather and divide, divide and gather, receive and give, give and receive. That's this whole thing down here. You divide to gather up. You gather together. In the spirit, there's oneness. For this cause shall man leave is divide, mother and father, and cleave to his wife. Cleave is together, and the two shall become one. Oneness, which is typology of one with God through Christ. You're one with God through Christ. You're one with Christ, hid in Christ in God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the oneness in the Spirit can manifest down here in the body of Christ. And the antithesis, but it's the anti-Christ is the anti. So the anti is what? The hive mind. So you saw Microsoft posted a video of the Aleister Crowley chick who was trying to do blood sacrifices or whatever and get Microsoft and Bill Gates to support her and call her a great artist when she's just a liar. She's the anti. She's not a great artist. She's nothing. She's nothing. That's why she's doing what she's doing. She's trying to be something when she's nothing. She's a hell-bound sinner going to burn in hell with the devils. And that's why her artwork represents what she is. She's a hell-bound sinner, and everything she's doing in her artwork represents what she is. Her identity has to be her essence. And her essence has to manifest in 3D. So her essence of who she is and what she is, her identity has to manifest in the 3D because the Spirit runs the whole 3D. And so her artwork manifests her essence, and her essence is nothing but evil, wicked, witch, pathetic. That's why when you look at pictures of witches, they're all bent over and they got sores all over their body. Because why? They've been on the dark side, wicked, bent, wicker furniture, bent. That's why the witches all buy wicker furniture. Hang out with a witch long enough and she'll have some wicker furniture somewhere. Their essence has to manifest in the 3D. This is what I'm saying. The hologram reveals everything. The essence of their core character is going to reveal in the 3D. They're going to have wicked furniture. Somebody who's bitter is probably going to be drinking and drugging or smoking. They're bitter. They're bitter at something. They're holding on to bitterness. I saw something this week that kind of blew my mind. I can't even talk about it yet. I might not be able to talk about it for 5 years, but yeah, I can't talk about it right now. But it just manifests what's in the heart. The heart has to speak out. The heart has to act out. Doctrine determines behavior. Your belief system determines your behavior. Your essence determines your behavior. Who you are, your essence, your core. That's why you can know that all your RH negative people, they're going to think they're gods. They're going to think they're God. All your atheists, they're going to be argumentative. They all act the same. Most of your Baptists are legalists. Most of your Methodists are traditionalists. Most of your Pentecostals are emotionalists. Their emotions, they jump up like an animal and fall down like an animal and so call it worship, emotion. Those that worship must worship in spirit and truth, not jump up and down like a wild animal. It's faith alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not a legalistic thing, and it's not tradition. It's not tradition of man. It's Jesus on the cross, death, burial, resurrection. That's reality. Division is gathering, because when you divide, you gather. When you take an axe, you split some wood, the axe gets stuck in the wood. When you take a man and he leaves his mama and his daddy, and he goes and marries this woman, he leaves and he cleaves. You can't leave without cleaving. You leave one thing and cleave to something else. Just the way it is. Their essence doesn't change. This is why the essence of a narcissist can't change. They're going to reveal over time what they are. And when people start to see what they are and they get exposed for what they are, and the evidence is overwhelming and they can't play the game anymore, they've got to leave because they don't want to be exposed for them being a narcissist. They got to leave. They got to run for the hills, right, and go create another little flying monkey situation. They got to have some flying monkeys. And when all their flying monkeys don't support them and don't prop up their fake reality, they got to go somewhere else. When all the flying monkeys realize what they've been a slave to this narcissist fake reality, then the flying monkeys wake up and they say, oh, huh, we're not going to submit to this fake reality anymore. And so the narcissist has to go create a fake reality somewhere else. You understand what I'm saying? I hope so. Leave and cleave are the same. You leave one situation, you cleave to another. You leave the devil's realm and you cleave to Jesus. That's why a slave to Jesus is freedom. How can being a slave to Jesus be freedom? How can leave and cleave be the same thing? It's counterintuitive to the flesh mind. Until you get saved, you don't know what I'm talking about. How can leave and cleave be the same? How can divide and gather be the same? Well, how can you? The Bible says if you lose your life, you'll save it. You save your life, you lose it. How is that even possible? Because it's spiritual. It's a spiritual truth. And you can't hear it unless you get saved. And even after you get saved, you're going to have to really meditate on what I'm saying if you haven't thought about it before. How can give and receive be the same thing? Because it is. In order to give, somebody has to receive. You can't give unless somebody's receiving. So it has to be the same in the spirit, in the overarching pattern, because you flip this, you flip and you get on the other side. So somebody gives you something and you receive it. So flip it, and now you give somebody something, they receive it. You're just the same person. You're looking at yourself at a different progression, different maturity, you know. Everybody you look at, you're looking at yourself, but at a different maturity level. They got two arms, two legs, two ears, a mouth, a nose, two eyes. They got a body and they got a head. You're looking at yourself, but you're looking at yourself at a different maturity level. So give and receive is the same, and divide and together is the same. Because in order to divide, you divide to gather. And you gather to divide. You give to receive, and you receive to give. That's why God's gifts have to flow through you. The gifts of God have to flow through you. Because if you just hang on to it, you're not in the program. You're not in the flow. People say, how'd you get to be so wise or so knowledgeable? I'm not. It's so easy. I'm just breaking it down into its simplest parts. It's funny how they think simple is wisdom. The simplicity is not wisdom. The simplicity in Christ. See, they want it to be hard. Faith alone and Jesus alone. We preach Jesus, not ourselves. The simplicity that's in Christ, we stand on. And they want to make it hard. You got to climb a pole. You got to some level, rank, grade, rating. You got to raise yourself up. Some level, some grade, some rate. They want to make it hard. You got to climb the pyramid. I'm already at the top of the pyramid in Jesus. Why do I need to climb the pyramid when I'm already seated in Christ in the heavenlies? Why do I need to climb the pyramid when I'm already in Christ, seated in Christ in the heavenlies? I'm seated in the heavenlies in Christ. Why do I need to climb a pyramid? Stupid Freemasons, I'm seated in the heavenlies in Christ. I'm already at the top of the pyramid. Why you want me to climb some of your works-based lies? Because you're a liar. You're a deceiver. You're an antichrist. That's why.